Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Brenda Brewer speaking. Welcome to the NPOC webinar series. This is webinar number one, taking place on the 3rd of February, 2021. This webinar is recorded. Kindly keep your phones and microphones on mute until questions are taken. I'm pleased to introduce Mr. Adam Peake from ICANN GSE in Europe. Adam, please begin.
Thank you very much, Brenda. Hello, everybody. Adam Peake, and as Brenda mentioned, I work for Global Stakeholder Engagement, GSE, in Europe. I think to begin, we'd like a few words, Raoul, if you'd like to introduce the program. It is for NPOC, and as chair, it would be nice if you have a couple of words to begin. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Adam. What an international crowd we have today, and it's very nice to see we got 20 participants in this call. It's quite nice to get this many people. Obviously, people have a lot of interest on what these webinars have to say. And so this series of webinars is aimed at NPOC members and not-for-profit organizations interested in gaining a better understanding of the DNS and how to responsibly and securely manage domain names. And the topics in these seven webinars will include how the DNS is managed and organized, the steps organizations and individuals should take to manage and protect their domain names, and how and why they can participate in ICANN policy processes. The webinars are targeted at newcomers and will also serve as a refresher for experienced NPOC members, so they'll be able to give the same presentations to new and prospective members and interested not-for-profit organizations. I, for one, intend to participate to all of these webinars, thanks to our dedicated ICANN team, of whom some will have to wake up at crack of dawn to present to us. So I will make the effort and come at this, which is a good time here in Europe. It's 4 o'clock in Finland, so very nice. So I will definitely make the effort to be in every one of these. And once the series is complete, the ICANN staff will support the NPOC leadership to create slide presentations and accompanying materials for future NPOC outreach and engagement. And we'll also be, for somebody attending all seven webinars, there'll be certificates for all the attendees. Now, I don't have more to say. Go ahead, Adam.
Thank you. Sorry, Raoul. Let me turn my camera on. Hi, everybody. So yes, thank you, Raoul, and thank you to Joan Kerr, who's your predecessor as chair of NPOC, for beginning this series and the ideas for us to get it started. A big thanks to Joanna and also Caleb for their support in organizing the sessions. So as Raoul mentioned, it's a series of seven webinars. We will take a two-week break. The webinars will be held weekly at this time. There'll be 1 hour with about 15 minutes for questions and comments within that hour. The series will take a two-week break while the preparation meetings for ICANN 70 and then ICANN 70 itself takes place. And so that is the schedule. So let me now run through the schedule. If we could have the next slide, please, Brenda, that would be perfect. So this is what we'll be looking at for today, webinar one, and then next week. And the idea that we will introduce the program as Raoul described, and the outcome, the goal, as mentioned, will be materials that NPOC members themselves can use in outreach and engagement and in capacity building. I think it's also important to note that there are two courses on ICANN Learn that are very strongly related to the content of these webinars, and that's Registrant Basics, which is 302.1, and DNS Fundamentals, which is course 602.1. All this information, including the slides and recordings of the webinars, will be available, so you'll be able to review the materials as you wish at a later date, and there will be a dedicated page where all of the link materials will be available. So Let's have a look at what we're going to talk about today. I've sort of just introduced the first bullet. Oh, the previous slide still, Brenda, please. Just, yeah, this is it. So we'll begin with an introduction to the registrant program, and that's my colleague, Brian Gutterman. Then it'll come back to me for an introduction to ICANN and broadly what ICANN does and how it's done. I think we'll be moving on to next week, the second webinar for how the DNS works, DNS resolution and issues around that. And Patrick Jones will introduce that. Then the multi-stakeholder model and MPOC's place in that and role, with an introduction to the policy development processes, PDPs, consensus policies and contracts, which is the core business of MPOC as a constituency of the generic name supporting organization. So this goes into the policy work that NPOC conducts. Next slide, please, Brenda. Then in the third and fourth, and probably a bit of the fifth webinar, we'll talk about registrant rights and responsibilities, which includes registering a domain name and the issues that are involved in that, managing and renewing names, looking at rights protection mechanisms, which are particularly important, I think, for NGOs and non-for-profits. This includes the UDRP, which is the Uniform Dispute Resolution Policy, and also the URS, which is Uniform Rapid Suspension System. And of course, you will learn about this as we move forward. So don't worry if you're not familiar with these terms or the details of it. We will come to this. We'll look at a review of the various relevant consensus policies. Consensus policies are the policies which the ICANN community develops to which registries and registrars have to abide by. And this includes things such as WDRP, which is the WHOIST data reminder policy, transfer policies, and so on. And then we will get into more of the technical operations and technical aspects, which will revert back to Patrick, talking about protecting and securing domain names, passwords, and so on and so forth. The next slide, please, Brenda, the next one. And then for the sixth and the seventh webinars, which will be after ICANN 70, the 2 weeks I mentioned, we'll look at about securing domain names and security management, the introduction to DNSSEC, which is very important for organizations that are operating their own domain names, and that's the domain name system security extensions. And then some of the new things that we're talking about in ICANN at the moment, such as DNS over HTTPS and DNS over TLS, which are about security and privacy maintaining activities and protocols, preventing the manipulation of domain name DNS data and so on. And again, don't worry if it's not clear now. It will be clear when Patrick and others have reviewed it. And then the final will be a review and a wrap up. So if Brian is on the call, I think we will be moving to, no, I'm wrong. Next slide, please, Brenda. Next slide, please. Yeah, so I think you should know who we are. So I just mentioned Brian. So this is Brian Gutterman. He's the program manager at the Strategic Initiatives Group in GDS, which is the Global Domain Services Group. And he runs the registrant program. So critical to what we're talking about. Patrick is a colleague of mine at the Global Stakeholder Engagement Group, and Patrick is a senior director. And a lot of Patrick's work looks at security, operational issues, and he will be covering the DNS fundamentals aspects that we've mentioned. And then I am Adam Peak, again, Global Stakeholder Engagement, and I'm the manager for civil society engagement, and I'm also responsible for our engagement with a few countries in the European region. So I will talk about the ICANN organization and multi-stakeholder approach. The next slide, please. And Mariam Bakoshi, who of course you know is your support from the policy group in ICANN, and she has been instrumental really in making all of this happen. And thank you very much, Mariam, for all you've been doing. Mariam works on the stakeholder and advisory committee collaboration services group with particular responsibility for the non-commercial and also the commercial stakeholder groups. And Brenda, who's making all of this happen today, is supporting the Zoom room and so on. Again, Brenda, thank you so much. This is wonderful that you're helping us out today. So thank you. On to the next slide, please. And I think we may be on to Brian now. So over to you, Brian. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much, Adam. And good morning, good afternoon, evening, everyone. Great to be here with you all to kick off this webinar series. We really hope you find this useful, interactive. We are lucky enough to have these recorded. So NPOC and others in the community can, you know, use these webinars as an archive, as a library of learning for new members and experienced members alike, as Adam said. Moving forward, I have met some of you before. Good to see some new names that I don't know here in the Zoom room, at least until we can all meet again somewhere. I'm Brian Gutterman, as Adam said, and I work in the Global Domains and Strategy function at ICANN.org, and specifically I work on the Registrant program. So I'll start by talking a little bit about ICANN.org and registrants and, you know, remind you all of, you know, the NPOC mission statement, which is to represent specifically the operational concerns related to service delivery of not-for-profit and NGOs who are domain name registrants in the DNS. So a little bit about ICANN and registrants. Throughout all of ICANN's work, we endeavor to serve the global public interest, domain name registrants, which are domain name holders and end users of the internet by ensuring a secure and stable DNS, all while promoting trust, choice, and competition in the industry. We've always recognized registrants as being essential to a robust DNS and marketplace, but certainly more can be done to improve their experience when interacting with the organization. And this is where the Registrant program comes in and work that actually takes place all across the organization. So next slide, please. Just another short slide here on the program goals. And some of you may have heard this before. Our goals are to educate registrants about their rights and responsibilities, the ecosystem and how to navigate it, and specifically the ICANN policies that do impact them, which are some of the policies that Adam mentioned before, and later on in this series, we will get into them in more detail. You know, there's lots of acronyms that are confusing, but there are a few, you know, specific policies that registrants should know about. That's for sure. Okay, so where can you find the resources that we have produced over the years, such as FAQs, blogs, other articles, infographics, ICANN.org/registrants there. We invite you to go there and check out what we have. And again, this is some of the content that we'll be going into in more detail over the next several weeks. The second program goal, you know, after the education piece, is to raise awareness about issues and challenges that registrants face. So to try and interact with the community to see what their issues are as registrants, to understand data that is out there, which points to some of the main problems or issues that registrants are having in managing their domain names. Part of what we do is publish some of the data that we have at ICANN. We try to engage in sessions such as this and in other ways with the community to listen as much as we can. A third piece of our program is to ensure that registrant perspectives are reflected in ICANN.org ongoing work, services, and reviews. Next slide, please, Brenda. Thanks. So when we talk about our program and our content and our engagement work, who are we talking about? Our primary audience are everyday registrants. So some of you may have domain names, some of you may be registrants, other nonprofits and NGOs that are represented by NPOC in the ICANN space, who may only have one or two domain names. Usually, unless you're really a part of ICANN and pay attention to these things, it's totally normal not to have little or no knowledge of the DNS ecosystem, ICANN or ICANN policies, what these acronyms mean. So we hope this webinar, Patrick and Adam will talk about, you know, what ICANN does, some of the fundamentals of the DNS and such. So we can learn that and then learn, you know, some things that everyday registrants should know to avoid problems. Our secondary audience maybe are some more experienced registrants or larger portfolio registrants, which means they have, you know, 5, 10, 100 domain names registered. We try to do some capacity building and education around security, preventing phishing and malware and other fraudulent attacks. And this actually, I would say, is more of our OCTO, Office of the CTO, security expert team, who do technical engagement work and sort of more hands-on training to be sure that the DNS is secure as it can be. And the community, which is you, you know. So we try and speak to groups across the community, registrars, registries, who again we will learn more about in this series. CCTLDs, as there are many CCTLD registrants who are interested in some of our educational materials. There you are, NCSG, NPOC, ALAC, and others. So we want to hear from you. So I guess, you know, we want this to be. This is a webinar series, so we will be speaking like it's a lecture at a class, I guess. But we will want to facilitate answering questions and hearing your ideas for how we can do better, at least with the registrant program. Next slide, please. This is a slide that I always like to present, and I'll get more into this later. But when we talk about your everyday registrant. Who are they? What kind of people are these people? And this slide comes from our global support center team. And our global support center team works around the clock answering emails and phone calls from anyone can call them, but about 75% or so of their contacts, people that contact them are actually registrants. And this is what they have learned over the years. This is a typical registrant. They are small, medium-sized business owners. They consider their website to be mission critical and or revenue impacting. And I think, you know, this is a lot of the concerns of NPOC, making sure that, you know, NGOs and nonprofits, that the websites are mission critical for them. And they want to make sure they're secure and running smoothly. Oftentimes when they call, they have a heightened sense of urgency. They can be anywhere around the world. Sometimes they have no idea who ICANN is. They just found our phone number and they need to get their website back up and they're looking for help. So I guess we want to do these sorts of webinars and educate registrants to, you know, hopefully make sure that they don't need to call us or their registrar, that everything is running smoothly because they are responsible and securely managing their domain names. And next slide, please. Adam mentioned this before, but I really want to encourage you all to check out ICANN Learn. The link is there. You need to register for I Can Learn, but there is a ton of great content on there. It's an interactive online learning platform. We're always trying to improve it. I think a lot of these ideas for building this platform came from the community who were interested in online learning. And we at the Registrum program, together with others across the organization, launched a course early last year, Essentials for Domain Name Holders. Please check that out, along with the DNS Fundamentals course, specifically the Essentials for Domain Name Holders, Registrum Basics course. We'll talk about, again, a lot of the things that we are going to go into in more detail later on in the series, registrant rights and responsibilities, the important role that registrants play in the ecosystem, best practices in domain name management, and some of the ICANN policies that impact registrants directly. Next slide. Okay, I'm gonna pass it on now. Thank you very much. And again, looking forward to the rest of the series.
Thanks, Brian. So just quickly, Fazanay, yeah, I think you're right. We hadn't considered the fact that the three staff people who are fundamentally reporting and talking on this series are all male. It would probably be flippant to say that we all report to females, but it is a good point. So let us consider that. I think you're absolutely right. So thank you for mentioning it. Moving on here, what you're seeing on the screen is at the top of the screen is an IPv4 internet address, 192.0.43.22. And each device on the internet needs a unique address. It could be IPv4, IPv6, which Patrick will talk about next week or in one of the future sessions. And really it's essentially that computers and internet technologies use these numbers and protocols to communicate. That's how messages and information flows across the internet. And if you type in the number into your browser window, it will give you a web page. And this particular number will always resolve to www.icann.org. And it will work. You can try it later. I tried it last night and it worked. So what you're happening when you do this is you're seeing the DNS at work. The DNS is working here. It's a translation between numbers and domain names. The domain names, the series of letters and simple other characters are what we find as humans easy to remember. Remembering a whole string of IP addresses would be extremely difficult and very difficult, as you will see when you get onto IPv6. So this is the facilitation of the interface between us as the human beings, remembering these domain names and the IP addresses which send to function across the internet. And ICANN is responsible for the unique assignment of these names and numbers. Without unique assignment, you wouldn't go to the right address, website when you type an address in your browser, or your email might go to the wrong email address. So unique assignment is essential to everything that happens on the internet, and ICANN is responsible for coordinating this. We coordinate the unique assignment of names and numbers, and we'll go into more detail about that. And we organize through the ICANN community policies for top-level domain names, for GTLDs, generic top-level domain names, and CCTLDs, the country code top-level domain names. Now, countries and territories are, of course, sovereign, so they actually make policy for the national or state-level operation of their country, their TLDs, at the national level. But the country code managers come together in ICANN to develop global policy. And ICANN is responsible, as we will hear over the course of the series, for the development of policy for generic top-level domain names. And these can range from anything from consumer-related issues to policies that affect the registries and registrars. So in many ways, ICANN is sort of like it's the user interface between the technical operations of the internet and us as human beings and users. So the next slide, please. So this is the essential part of ICANN, where it adopted a multi-stakeholder model. It's the heart of everything that ICANN does. It's a decentralized governance model which places individuals and industry and non-commercial interests and those of governments on an equal level in the policy development process. It's bottom-up, which means that anybody can get involved and start contributing to the processes. And it's consensus-driven policymaking, which means that we come together and reach agreement, sometimes not completely happily, but everybody is able to move forward when consensus is achieved. And in some ways, the internet governance in this way mimics the structure of the internet. It's borderless, it's open to all, and anybody can contribute to it or access and use the resources that are available. The ICANN structure is divided into two basic arrangements. There's a supporting organizations, which we call SOs, and these are responsible for developing and making the policy in the areas that they represent. And then advisory committees advise the ICANN board, advise on policy development processes, and in certain cases, they can raise issues for policy development. So if we go to the next slide, please. We can see how this all comes together in ICANN's mission. So a lot of these issues we will come to in future sessions, and it will become clearer, but the essential one at the beginning is the coordination and allocation and assignment of names in the root zone of the domain name system. Patrick will talk about the root zone and domain name system in coming weeks. We coordinate the development and implementation of policies for the registration of second level domain names in generic top level domains. And this is one of NPOC's core missions, a part of the GNSO, the Generic Name Supporting Organization, and facilitates the coordination and operation evolution of the DNS root server system. And we coordinate the allocation and assignment at the top level, the global level, of internet protocol numbers and autonomous system numbers. Coming together, this is essentially oversight and administration of the domain name system. The next slide, please. And we don't do this alone, of course. ICANN is not the ultimate administrator of this, absolutely not. You can see organizations here that are involved in this. There are root server operators. There's the Asia Pacific Network Information Center, APNIC, which is one of the five regional internet registries, which is responsible for the assignment of IP addresses and autonomous system numbers and other things to ISPs and connectivity providers in their regions. And there are many other technical organizations that we work with, the World Wide Web Consortium and so on. The next slide, please. And there are other partners, policy partners. Again, ICANN is not alone in this. We work with a global arrangement of different organizations, whether it's the World Intellectual Property Organization, the Internet Society, of course. Many of our members and participants come from the Internet Society. Different parts of the Internet Governance Forum, whether it's national and regional IGFs or the IGF itself. So again, ICANN is definitely not alone in the work that's being done here. There are technical and policy and other partners around the world. The next slide, please. So again, this is just a review. It's multi-stakeholder, it's bottom-up, it's consensus-driven. And the organizations that do the work here are the supporting organizations responsible for developing policy in their respective areas of competence, and then the advisory committees advising the board and advising policy processes. So let's have a look and see how that's organized. The next slide, please. And this is really a simple arrangement or a simple diagram to show the ICANN ecosystem and how we all come together in this. A global community of volunteers, developing policy, initiating and developing policy in the main. A board of directors who are representatives coming from the global community, and their job is to receive policy recommendations. from the community and to make sure that policy development processes are followed. And then the ICANN org, the ICANN staff, which is the staff group, of course, and our role is to support the global community in their policy work and to be responsible for implementation of policy following the advice from the board of directors. The next slide goes into a little bit more detail. Next slide, please. And so we can see that the community is made up of people from civil society, from business, from academia, from users and user entities, and governments, of course, and of course the technical community. So that's the community. Let's see how those are organized within the ICANN structures and policy development. The next slide, please. And so we have this organization. The board and the organization, the staff are still there, but the community is divided into the two groups I mentioned before, the supporting organizations and the advisory committees. And we can have a look at a bit more detail in those. Next slide, please. And as mentioned, these supporting organizations, they're responsible for the policy in the areas they represent. And there are three of them. The address supporting organization, which is known as the ASO, and these are made up of representatives from the five regional internet registries I mentioned, and they work on global internet protocol address policy within the ICANN community. Their address policy for themselves, the policy that is active at the regional level, they develop within their own five regions. But they come together in ICANN to coordinate and to contribute to other global policy issues that ICANN is developing. The CCNSO, the Country Code Name Supporting Organization, works on global policies relating to country codes. I mentioned this before. And there's of course, many examples you'll be familiar with, .be, .nl for the Netherlands, .fr for France, and so on. And the CCNSO is made up of CCTLD managers, country code managers. The one that's most relevant, of course, immediately to NPOC is the GNSO, the Generic Name Supporting Organization. And NPOC is a member of one of the two houses. The GNSO is divided into two houses, contracted and non-contracted parties. The contracted parties are the registries and the registrars who operate and provide domain names. And we will hear about how that works from Patrick in a later webinar. And the non-contracted parties are all the other groups, the business or the commercial stakeholders group and the non-commercial stakeholders group. The non-commercial stakeholders group is the parent essentially of NPOC, and where NPOC participates to help develop new policy. So NPOC is a constituency of NSO. That is essentially where we are in the policy development world. And then the next slide, please, we will can see where the advisory committees come in. The At-Large Advisory Committee, the ALAC, represents individual internet users. And I see a few representatives of the At-Large here on the chat and in the room today, so thank you. And it's representing the interests of individual internet users in policy development. And they advise the board on issues that are pertaining to individuals' interests in DNS policy. The Governmental Advisory Committee is where governments and international organizations come together in ICANN to provide advice to the board. And it's a very large group, a very active group with over 178 members at the moment. So it is globally highly representative of the governmental sector. The RSAC is the Root Server System Advisory Committee, and it advises on one of the core mission items which we mentioned, the operation, administration, security, and integrity of the root server system. And then the SAC, the C, Security and Stability Advisory Committee advises on matters related to security and the integrity of the internet's DNS, the domain name system. So that's where our advice comes from. And if we go to the next slide, we can have a quick look at how policy is developed. It's not very clear. I don't know if you're looking at this on a phone or small device. It's going to be very hard to see. But on the left-hand side, you can see how community is developed through the supporting organizations. And at the bottom of these groups, with the little red text, is the GNSO. Along the bottom are the advisory committees, the four advisory committees I just mentioned. And the very simplistically put, the idea is that when a policy issue is considered, when somebody has an idea that a new policy should be developed, then they can initiate, they identify and then initiate an issue report. It scopes the issue, it defines it, and says why, in their view, this issue should be a policy that one of the supporting organizations should be considering. If the issue report is accepted, then there is an initial policy phase. And you can see we're going to move through this sort of snake diagram of how the policy evolves. Working groups are formed. The working groups, of course, meet very regularly now through Zoom, but at one time they would have done so mainly through telephone. And it's where the core of ICANN's work takes place, in between the three meetings that happen each year. And they're always looking for volunteers, and I hope that we'll see more from NPOC being able to participate in this policy development work. I know that the non-commercial stakeholders group would be really pleased to see NPOC members getting involved. So as the policy is worked on, the issue report is taken and the policy is worked on through various working groups and calls and so on. And as they begin to develop their recommendations, there will be various opportunities for public comment. The advisory committees can participate in this process. They tend to be providing advice, obviously, from their respective points of view. And they will, of course, be very involved in any public comment process. Public comment processes are mandated in the ICANN bylaws for various processes. These comments are then evaluated to see how they meet agreeing or disagreeing with the recommendations in the report on the policy being developed. And this then evolves over time until the recommendations are considered final and can go to the board for their evaluation to check if the policy has followed the actual policy guidelines, the processes that are required through the bylaws. If they meet various fiduciary and other responsibilities, and if the board votes to pass those, and more often than not they will do, then implementation will take place through staff guided by a further community working group. That is very much a snapshot of how it develops, and I think probably for now, and then of course the policy becomes something that is implemented. The policy may be something that, if it's a consensus policy, and we'll talk about this more next week, a consensus policy would be one that binds the registries and registrars, depending on what the policy is. It binds them to adopt certain new activities and functions, or it could be a different type of policy generally. So, excuse me. So that's the idea. This is how policy has emerged over time. And let's see. I think here we can begin to take questions. And I think that's the final slide for today. So thank you very much. So Raoul, I think over to you, or perhaps Joanna, to see if there are questions or if you have any comments. I'm sorry I've not been looking at the chat while I'm speaking. I'm not very good at multitasking. But yes, please go ahead, and Raoul, over to you again.
Thanks, Adam. Yes, that was a great introduction to how ICANN is organized and what it does. I believe we'll have some questions. You can either just ask it here or in the chat, and we'll try to answer all of them.
Hi, Raul, it's Joan here. I don't see a hand, I can't raise my hand from where I am. Can I go ahead?
Go for it, Joan.
Yeah, great, thank you. Well, great job, guys. I'm so happy that this is happening, of course. I was just reflecting when it started and I looked up my notes and Raul, you and I actually met in June 2017 for this to happen. So it's been in a long time coming. And I think it's a really good series to engage our members to learn the process, because it takes almost 2 years, certainly if you know nothing, as I did when I came in, to learn all the acronyms and learn how the process works and all of that. So so thank you to the staff for doing it. And I'm hoping that I read it in the emails and other communications that it will be posted on the website so that people can actually access it. So I just want to say that I think this is a really good series, and I'm hoping that also at the end of this that we'll have more intermediary webinars and advanced as we go along. After that, as we get people involved, it's more of a comment than a question. But good job.
Hi, it's Adam. Just picking up on Joan's last point. Yes, we did envisage that there may well be additional webinars. It could be anything from, you know, how does the internet operate itself? How does traffic flow across the internet? But it might be something different that your MPOC members are interested in that, you know, that they have after this series has completed. So, yes, thank you. And keep those future ideas for webinars in mind. We'd be more than happy to try and address them. I think Alfredo has a question. So please, Alfredo, if you need to be unmuted, Brenda, if you could unmute Alfredo, please.
Yes, I think I am. This is Alfredo for the transcript record as well. I just want to make a comment and a question. My comment is based on the audience we have right now, and I want to welcome the ICANN fellows from ICANN 70 and ICANN 71. It's great to see you guys in this conversation and series of webinars. My question is, as I look at the flowchart, and I guess some of the fellows may have, if they're newcomers, have this same question. This process is so long that by the time a decision is made and the policy is issued, doesn't in some cases the policy become obsolete? And when you're going to implement it, you have to go back to the drawing board in order to have it adjusted. And I'm guessing that during the following webinars, we're going to deep dive into this as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Alfredo. I think generally speaking, a policy development process that, as I remember, will take between 1.5 and 2 years from initiation to, and of course there are exceptions to that, so I'll come to that. Of course there are exceptions to that. And a lot of that is not only the work that needs to be done, which of course takes time as people develop their recommendations, but also the introducing public comment processes, introducing reviews of final recommendations, interim recommendations, and so on. Now, of course, some policies take longer than that. The initial policies that were developed for the new top-level domain name program, the introduction of top level domain names in 2012, I think probably took 5 or 6 years. And then it took another couple of years to implement, because these are major changes that are affecting the fundamentals of the internet. You know, there many of the things that ICANN does, they're not just something that affects the operation of something at the second level of a domain name. It's not something that affects, for example, the ICANN part of ICANN.org. This is, you're affecting the critical infrastructure that is the internet and its operations. Are there policies that sometimes become out of date as they're moving along? Yes, one that would be an example there could be the development of policies around the WHOIS system, the system of registering domain name data and making that data available or not available. And the effect there was from an outside source. It was from regional regulation. And ICANN, of course, has no control over what governments and others will do that may impact upon on the policy processes that we're developing. And so ICANN had to, instead of continuing with one policy, begin another policy development process that is in effect responding to that. But overall, I think start to finish from what I remember talking to my policy colleagues, we would be looking at 1.5 to 2 years. But of course, they will take longer than that. And yes, they can change because we live in the real world where there are outside influences. I hope that's helpful.
Yes, thank you, Alan.
Raul, are you seeing anything else in here that would be useful that we should consider?
Yes, does anyone else have any other questions? Now's the time to ask them. Otherwise, I think we'll start to wrap up. Crickets.
A quick answer to Imran, who I see is an ICANN 70 fellow. Yes, Imran, the record will be published later, and there is a page where that will happen, which we can make available. Yes, there is a community wiki page, as we call it at the moment, and then it will be available at some point on, as Mariam is typing now, on the NPOC website. And I'm very sorry, it's difficult to scroll back through the chat to see if there's anything else that we need to address. I do want to thank particularly everybody for joining. I want to remind everybody that, of course, fellows and everybody else is absolutely welcome to join these webinars. They are something that the MPOC has developed, as Joan mentioned. It's taken a long time to get them out. So they are primarily going to be addressing issues as we saw them working with the MPOC leadership that are about not-for-profit operational concerns. So if you feel they aren't really touching on your issue, then please remember that of course you're more than welcome here, more than welcome to ask questions, but some of the content may be not exactly what you and your interests are, but they are, we hope, those for the NPOC. Are there any more questions? And I'll go back to you, Raul.
Thanks, Adam. Well, I think it's been a great start, a real kickoff for our webinar set. And if no one else has anything else, I think we're done for today. Yep. Thanks for everyone to join. And we'd like to see you same time next week.
Right. And next week, it will be Patrick giving us a run through of DNS resolution, how the domain name system works and the different components that some of which I've mentioned today about root servers and so on. And then I will give a review of registries and registrars and the policy development processes within the GNSO. So we will go into more detail of some of the things that have already been spoken about, and then particularly the policy development process, and very importantly, DNS, how it works, which of course is at the core of what ICANN is doing. So thank you very much, everybody. Thank you, staff colleagues, for being here. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Joel, great job. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks, Brenda. I think you can start to close up the room. Thank you so much, everybody.